Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our sermon today comes in the form of a question, and the question is, should Christians grieve? Based on the second reading on your bulletin, 13th verse that says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." I encourage you to open up your bulletin and find there the pink colored insert. Upon it, you will find our sermon outline, and you can follow as we consider our theme, Should Christians Grieve? How many of you here were here on Friday for Jay's memorial service? Would you raise your hand? If you were here, I hope this second reading that was assigned for this Sunday and the sermon title should be familiar. This was the reading assigned years ago for this Sunday. But this text also I chose on Sunday to use for Jay's memorial service sermon. This is such an important message. I wanted our entire congregation to hear it, and I'm glad there are so many guests here. This is a very important message for us today to hear as we consider our theme, Should Christians Grieve? Well, unlike Jay's memorial service on Friday, which was a celebration of his life and eternal life, let me tell you about a very hopeless funeral I attended some 36 years ago. It was the week after my high school graduation. So if you're adding the numbers, you can figure it out. One of my classmates' father died on the night of our high school graduation. In fact, he collapsed and had a massive heart attack in his front yard on his way to her high school graduation. Later that week, after the graduation exercises were finished, a few of us classmates went to his funeral out of respect for our friend. It was the most hopeless, and it was the saddest funeral I had ever attended in my life, and to this day, the saddest funeral I had ever attended. It was not held in a church facility. It was held in a Masonic lodge, of all places. And those who led the service had nothing to say about the mercy of God. They had nothing to say about the forgiveness that Christ has won for us on the cross. They had nothing to say about the gift of heaven. All they could talk about in that service was, he was a good man. He made a good living. He had a nice house. He made a lot of money. And their last word was a haunting word when they said, we hope he gets what he deserves. Oh my. And after that service, my heart went out to my classmate. She and her entire family, in fact, everybody in that assembly was grieving. There is no grief like the grief of those who face death without him who overcame death for all people who put their faith in him. Let's talk for a moment about grief in the city of Thessalonica. This is where the epistle lesson from St. Paul was written to a brand new church. The church was only 20 years old. The people in the church thought that Jesus would return soon, and with him he would bring the end of the world before they would die. But the problem was some of their loved ones had died. And Jesus had not returned yet. And they were grieving, wondering, what's going to happen to our loved ones? So St. Paul addresses them with these words. And if you would care to turn your bulletin over, I want to read these words of St. Paul again. But now that you understand their issue, grieving at the death of their loved ones, these words will be more important. Listen to the words. Paul says, we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, a Hebrew way of saying those who have died, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him all those who have fallen asleep. For we declare to you by a word from the Lord that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the shout of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we also who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. St. Paul says to the people in Thessalonica, don't worry about your loved ones who have died in faith in Christ. God will take care of them, and he will take care of all who have put their faith in Christ. Be not afraid. But they were grieving, as it's natural to grieve. Isn't it, Kathy? Isn't it, Ewald? Many of you don't know this week, the very morning of Jay's memorial service, Ewald Wischke's dad died. And where was Ewald and his family? Here, in this place. In our lives, the causes of grief are varied. I have made and will continue to make a number of pastoral visits in the families in this congregation, and I can tell you this, that grief is alive and well in the homes of all members of this congregation. Now, don't get me wrong. There are many things to give thanks for. There are many joyful things in your lives. But you and I are no strangers to grief. What exactly is grief? Here's a definition of grief. Grief is the emotional pain we have when we lose anything important to us. Listen to me again. It's printed for you there on the outline. Grief is the emotional pain we have when we lose anything that's important to us. You see, loss takes many forms. A loved one dies. You lose a job. You're losing your youth and your strength. You retire. A child leaves home. A child makes some bad choices. You go through a separation or a divorce. Illness prevents you from doing what you want to do. You move away from a home or a job. You're even grieving in anticipation of a future loss. My guess is there is no one here today that is a stranger to grief. Now, doesn't St. Paul say in our text today that grief is the opposite of belief? Should Christians grieve? Doesn't faith in Christ and his resurrected glory bring victory over every circumstance? I ask you again, should Christians grieve? And the answer of Holy Scripture is this. Christians can, and Christians do grieve, but not like unbelievers. Listen to Paul's words, verse 13. Listen carefully, please. Paul says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. Paul is not saying, don't grieve, Christians. He's saying, we don't grieve like unbelievers who have no hope in Christ. Come back with me to the funeral of my high school classmate's father. There was grieving without hope. Now, the Bible, though, is filled with examples of God's people grieving. I've listed some before you. Let's take a look at a few examples. Job. In Job 3, verse 1, we read these words. Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. Job had lost all of his possessions. Job had lost his families, and he was grieving. King David, in 2 Samuel 18, he said, "O Absalom, my son, if only I died instead of you." King David's rebellious son, Absalom, who broke his father's heart with his rebellion, he died, and David was grieving. The nation of Israel grieved. Psalm 137, the text says, "By the rivers of Babylon, we wept when we remembered Zion." Israel was an exile in a foreign land. They were homesick for their homes, and they were grieving. And now before you comes the shortest verse in the entire Bible. It's the verse that many confirmation children want as their memory verse for confirmation day. Listen to John 11:35. It simply says two words: Jesus wept. His dear friend Lazarus had died, and Jesus was grieving. Peter, and it says in Matthew 26, "And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Jesus had been denied by Peter three times before Jesus' crucifixion, and Peter was grieving over what he'd done. And finally, the last example, Mary Magdalene, chapter 20 of John. Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. Jesus was in the tomb, but the angels had rolled away the stone, and Jesus had risen, but Mary didn't know it, and she went to the tomb, and his body was gone, and she was confused, and Mary Magdalene was grieving. My friends, the scripture is filled with examples of God's people, faithful, believing people grieving. Grief is not the opposite of faith. How many of you have heard of the Christian writer C.S. Lewis? C.S. Lewis was a great Christian author, defender of the faith. Probably the most famous thing he wrote was The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, but many other things. C.S. Lewis's wife, Joy, died at a very young age of cancer. C.S. Lewis kept a diary, which he turned into a book. The book was entitled A Grief Observed. Listen to these words of C.S. Lewis. As you hear me read them, and they're printed for you if you want to read them in front of you, ask yourself, have I ever felt like this? Lewis wrote, "No one ever told me that grief felt so much like fear. The same fluttering in the stomach and restlessness, there's a sort of invisible blanket between me and the world. I find it hard to take in what anybody says. Yes, I want others to be around me. Meanwhile, where is God? An odd byproduct of my loss is that I'm aware I'm an embarrassment to everyone I meet. I see people who know me, and as they approach me, they try to make up their minds whether they'll say something about it or not. I hate it if they do and if they don't." Perhaps you can identify with these feelings of grief. Let me tell all of you who are here today, whatever grief you have in your life, Jesus understands. Jesus loves you so much. Please don't keep your grief to yourself and bottle it up. Share it with a fellow believer. Share it with a pastor. Share it with your Lord. Christians can grieve, but we do not grieve as those who have no hope. Our grief drives us not to despair, but our grief drives us to the open, nail-pierced hands of our Savior, who himself was no stranger to grief. Did you know that our Heavenly Father grieves? He grieves over our sin and our rebellion. Listen to Genesis 6. It's printed before you there. "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness was on the earth, and he was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. Soon after creation, and even until today, our sin, Our rebellion, our breaking of God's law causes our Heavenly Father grief and pain. And because of that, we deserve His wrath and punishment because He is a holy and just God. But, and here is the most beautiful three-letter word in the entire Scripture, but God is also loving and merciful. And He gives us a snapshot of His mercy when we see our Lord Jesus Christ grieving for those who will not put their faith in Him. From Matthew chapter 23, listen to the text. It's written before you. Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill those sent to you, how often I wanted to gather you the way a hen gathers her chicks, but you were unwilling. Here's the scene. Jesus is overlooking the city of Jerusalem. He's about ready to go to the cross to pay for the sins of the world, and countless people at His time, just like so many people today, will not turn to Him in humble faith. And Jesus' heart is broken with grief. And He paints a picture and says, how often I would gather you together like a mother hen would gather her chicks, but you wouldn't come to me. Having been raised in my earlier years on a dairy farm, I had many occasions to see chickens and mamas and little peepers running around. And when a dog barked, or a menacing thought or a menacing person came by, the mother hen would raise up and bring all the little chicks under her body and cover them to protect them. This is the picture Jesus is painting. How often I would gather you all like a mother hen, but you wouldn't come to me. And the end of the chicks that wouldn't come to the mother hen was death. And the sad end of those who will not come to the Savior who offers Himself for them is eternal death as well. Today, this Lord Jesus is here in this place, and His nail-pierced hands are reaching out to all of us, to those who have not trusted Him, to those who have maybe fallen away from Him, to those whose hearts are broken with grief. He is here, and His arms are reached out to you, but I have better news than even this. The Holy Scriptures tell us that Jesus Christ has borne our sins. He has borne our griefs upon the cross. Listen to the words of Isaiah 53. They're printed for you there. Jesus was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and He was despised. Surely He has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. Smitten by God and afflicted, He was wounded for our transgressions. By His stripes, we are healed. Jesus took to the cross your grief. Jesus took to the cross your rebellion. Jesus took to the cross your and my sin. And on that cross, He suffered the wrath of a holy God against our sin. And He Himself paid for the sins of the world, for God so loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. But Jesus rose from the grave. Oh, He rose on Easter Sunday morning so that your sins are forgiven. Your salvation is won. Your grief can be given hope and comfort. There's an ancient hymn we sing in the church. Pardon my voice. But I'm going to make you listen to me. Sing one little verse. The verse goes like this. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Whatever grief you're experiencing today, you need not bear it alone. We can grieve and still believe, says St. Paul. Grief is not the opposite of belief if our grief drives us to the arms of the Savior. So says St. John in his vision of heaven. Kathy and family, this is a vision of heaven, and Ewald and family, this is a vision of heaven we can only think about, but your loved ones see it face to face today. Listen to St. John's words. There in heaven, God will wipe every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more mourning. There'll be no more crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who sits on the throne says, "Behold, I make everything new." The last conversation I had with Jay Gable was over lunch with Kathy and Jay. Let me tell you how that happened. I wanted to go visit with them in their home in White Rock, because Jay had been sick and not been able to be here in church where he is every Sunday. And I called and said, "I'm coming for a visit." And Jay said, "Pastor, that's just too far for you to come. I know you're so busy. We'll get in our car and drive to your church office." Go figure. He's sick. He's 85. He's going to come see me and drive the 30 or 40 minutes. So they came. But before he came, on the phone he said, "I'm going to bring lunch, Pastor. What do you want? Chicken or burgers?" And his family knows how much he likes McDonald's. We had McDonald's hamburgers in my office. I kept trying to ask him how he was doing, know how he was hurting. But he kept asking me, "Pastor, how are you doing? I know you're so busy. Thank you, Pastor, for all the things you do here. And thank you for loving us, giving us God's word. Jay, how are you doing?" And finally, he said three things. He said this: "I'm okay. The Lord will take care of me. I'm in His hands." My dear ones in Christ, in times of loss and grief, we can grieve with hope. Because of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, we today can say those same three things. Jay, thanks for helping me write today's sermon. We can say, "I'm okay. The Lord will take care of me. I'm in His hands." You can believe it. In the name of Jesus. Amen.